Boxes of sample frocks from wannabe fashion houses were stacked up along one wall. Some intern had triaged them with a chunky blue marker. Yes, keep for shoot, or, oh, I think not. Or the triumphant, the absolutist, this is not fashion. A dead Japanese juniper tree stood in a cracked gold otagiri vase. Three glittering Christmas baubles still hung from it. The walls were done up in fuchsia and fairy lights, and even in the dim sunshine from the tinted windows that gave onto Commercial Street, the paintwork looked marked and tatty. I cultivated this unkempt look. Nixie wasn't supposed to be like the other women's magazines. Let them keep their spotless lobbies and their smug Eames chairs. When it comes right down to editorial choices, I would rather have a bright staff and a dim lobby. Clarissa, my features editor, came through the doors just after me. We kissed once, twice, three times. We'd been friends since school, and she hooked her arm around mine as we took the stairs together. The editorial floor was right at the top of the building. We were halfway up before I realized what was wrong with Clarissa. Clarissa, you're wearing yesterday's clothes. She smirked. So would you be if you'd met yesterday's man. Oh, Clarissa, what am I going to do with you? Pay rise, strong coffee, paracetamol. She beamed as she ticked off the points on her fingers. I reminded myself that Clarissa did not have some of the wonderful things I had in my life, such as my beautiful son Batman, and that she was therefore almost certainly less fulfilled than I was. It was a 10:30 a.m. start for my junior staff, bless them, and none of them were in yet. Up on the editorial floor, the cleaners were still in. They were hoovering and dusting desktops and turning upside down all the framed photos of my staff's awful boyfriends to prove they'd dusted under them. This was the grin and bear it part of editing Nixie. At Vogue or Marie Claire, one's editorial staff would be at their desks by 8, dressed in Chloe and sipping green tea. On the other hand, they wouldn't still be there at midnight, scrawling "Ceci n'est pas prêt à porter" on a sample box they were returning to a venerable Paris fashion house. Clarissa sat on the corner of my desk, and I sat behind it, and we looked out over the open plan at the gang of black faces spiriting away yesterday's fabric swatches and Starbucks cups.